такая умница, ой, гарная, як тая горлиця. Наймися уступить, гей, гай, наймися уступить, гей, гай, наймися уступить, з пуля парадниця, з пугутя парадниця, з поля робітниця, з пугутя парадниця, з поля робітниця. Ой, я така гарна, гей, гай, ой, я така гарна, гей, гай, ой, я така гарна, як в небі зірниця. Шли, гей, гай, як за мном хлопці шли, гей, гай, як за мном шли хлопці, як весняні хмари, як за мном хлопці шли, гей, гай, як за мном хлопці шли, гей, гай, за мном шли хлопці, як за мном шли хлопці, як весняні хмари.
And that was Boris Sikhon from Mission BC with a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Oi Harna Ya Harna, I Am a Dark-Eyed Beauty. Вітаю вас всіх, дорогі радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. З вами Павліна Макварі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchik-Macquarie, your host, and I am delighted to have you with me once again. We have a great show lined up for you, a special edition commemorating the Holodomor, the genocide of Ukrainians, which saw 7 to 10 million starved to death in Ukraine in 1932 and 33. On Ukrainian Food Flair, Sylvia will share the recipe for Remembrance Borscht, and we'll also have a commentary on Holodomor from the Nash Holos Audio Vault, as well as part two of my chat with Bobby Lee and Marta Tomkiw, the producers of the film Holodomor, Ukraine's Genocide. We'll also have our Proverb of the Week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music, much of it in commemoration of Holodomor. Coming up next is a song, however, by Millennia from Edmonton, and this is an original composition that speaks to the spirit of Ukrainians, which has lived through attempts at genocide such as the Holodomor of 1932-33. Here is Millennia now with Little Dancer.
Thank you. В далекі горі на широкі полонини і попрошу вітру з морів, аби він не спав до нини, щоб летів на вільних крилах, на кичері і діброві, і дізнався, де моя мила, карі очі, чорні брови. Мила моя, люба моя, світи ясен світ, я несу в очах до тебе весь плакітний світ. Я несу любов за журу, мрію молоду, і сади цвіту для тебе, я до тебе йду. А як вітер з полонини полетіти не захоче, все одно знайду дівчину, карі очі, чорні брови. Перейду я без трірики і без кини і діброви, і шляхи мені покажуть, карі очі, чорні брови. Мила моя, люба моя, світ ясен світ, я несу в очах до тебе весь блакитний світ. Я несу любов за журу, мрію молоду, і сади цвіту для тебе, я до тебе йду.
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. In 2003, Peter Boriso of the Hollywood Trident Foundation sent around a recipe for a special borscht to be served on American Thanksgiving in remembrance of the victims of the Holodomor, the famine, genocide in 1932 and 33, during which 7 to 10 million Ukrainians were deliberately starved to death by the Soviet regime. The recipe varies from family to family, but with the one constant being the substitution of yellow beets, also known as golden beets, for red beets. Using yellow or golden beets creates a borscht that is yellow in color rather than red. In Ukrainian culture, yellow is a color often related to mourning. While not common in supermarkets, yellow beets can be found at organic food grocers such as the Whole Foods Market in California and Island Naturals in Nanaimo. Otherwise, check the internet for online shippers or plan ahead and grow your own next year in your garden or in containers on your patio or balcony. This recipe for remembrance borscht starts with a mushroom broth. If you can find them, use the dried mushroom caps imported from Poland. These are the closest to those that used to come from Ukraine before Chernobyl. Otherwise, try a combination of Italian porcinis, Japanese shiitakes, or whatever you can find. Soak the dried mushrooms for several hours or overnight, then wash them carefully to get rid of any bits of sand and dirt. Add them to a pot of salted water and simmer for several hours. Run the dark water from the soaked mushrooms through a cheesecloth or coffee filter and add to the pot. If you're pressed for time, the ready-made mushroom broth found in organic stores or delis will do. To the broth, add chopped or shredded yellow beets, chopped potato, carrot, onion, mushrooms, and chopped fresh dill. Season with a bay leaf and salt and pepper. There are no rules other than using ingredients that even the poorest peasant would have in his or her bit of garden. If you can't find yellow beets, use a combination of white turnips and a parsnip. Color the broth with a few strands of saffron or a pinch of turmeric. Add your favorite vushka, which are mushroom-stuffed mini pierogies, and sprinkle with chopped fresh dill. If you don't have time or skill to make vushka, dried mushroom-filled Italian tortellini are a reasonable facsimile. This is a dish that would be fitting to serve on Holodomor Remembrance Day, which falls, coincidentally, on the last Saturday of November, the weekend of American Thanksgiving. Vichnaya Pamyat, Memory Eternal.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Ooh, 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 ooh,
That was Chermishena from Montreal, from their CD Postishka Khmri, Along Paths of a Dream, and The Fir and the Chestnut, Smirichka I Kashtan.
Зло на прощу уповає, суд пам'яті для кривди настає, не закриває вітеньки дитя, і мертве крихту хліба виглядає, святись на щастя ниво золота. Україна голоду не знає. Небо, вимирали села, могили всіх прийняти не могли. У села ті везли кіно веселе, а хліба для голодних не везли. У 33 розіп'яли Христа, розп'яли в 33-му Україну. Христос воскрес, вона зійшла з Христа. Я вірю в воскреслу Україну. Небо
was Ukrainian singer Vasil Kavun with a song simply called Holodomor, and that, of course, refers to the famine genocide in Ukraine of 1932-33, and very apropos to be playing this song since Holodomor Awareness Week is November 19th to 25th this year. It was 80 years ago now in Ukraine that people were being starved to death in this deliberate genocide, and it spanned 11 months. As more is being learned about this atrocity, the more difficult to deny that it happened, although some still do, and others seek to dispute the details and thus diminish the memory of those who perished so needlessly. Because of these people, much of the world still does not know about Holodomor. Recently, I came across a file in the Nash Holos archives that I recorded and aired in November of 2003, a commentary about the state of affairs regarding Holodomor awareness. Some of the things have changed. For example, many countries, with Canada being in the forefront, have now officially recognized Holodomor, condemned its perpetrators, and observe a universal day and even a week of commemoration. Other things, though, still haven't changed in 10 years. So for the benefit of those who did not understand the lyrics of the song, which pretty much told the story of Holodomor, and those who are not aware of it or who have a sketchy knowledge, I'd like to share this commentary that aired 9 years ago and is still relevant today. It seems the lessons of history are hard ones to learn. Rarely, in fact, are they learned at all. One fall day in 2001, America lost some 5,000 of its citizens to those horrific acts at the World Trade Center. The entire world knew about it almost the instant it happened and watched those dreadful scenes replayed again and again and again for months to follow. This week is Holod Remembrance Week, a week when Ukrainians around the world and those who care about the truth remember the famine genocide in Ukraine and its victims. It happened exactly 70 years ago, when the Soviet dictator Stalin deliberately starved over 7 million Ukrainians in his diabolical plan to create a new socialist utopia. Every day for an entire year, Ukrainians starved to death. The same number of people as perished in 9/11 on one day in New York perished every single day in Ukraine in 1932 and 33. And the world is only now starting to hear about it. The bitter irony is not lost on the survivors, nor on those who have tried to tell the truth to a world that did not want to hear it. Now that the Iron Curtain has collapsed, it is harder for the Ukrainian Holocaust deniers to continue their denial. Not that they don't try, just that they're steadily losing credibility. Ukrainians in the diaspora have in fact been pushing this year to have history's arguably most tainted Pulitzer Prize revoked. Walter Duranty of the New York Times during the early 20th century was so enamored of Stalin and his social engineering that he acted essentially as a Soviet publicist in the West. Using his position of influence and authority, he spewed Soviet propaganda in that newspaper under the guise of objective journalism, for which he received the coveted Pulitzer Prize, ironically a symbol of excellence in journalism. The New York Times has since refused to return the prize and considers a brief disclaimer on its wall sufficient recompense for its part in covering up one of the last century's most heinous genocides. The Pulitzer Organization itself refused to revoke the award when pressed in 1990. Neither the paper nor the Pulitzer Board has taken kindly to the international campaign led by the Ukrainian diaspora. They didn't want to disturb the status quo. It would, after all, set a precedent for similar scrutiny for the other awards and recipients. The Pulitzer Board has said they would make their decision on November 21st whether or not to posthumously revoke Duranty's award. Since this program is pre-recorded on next Sunday's program, their decision will be announced. Until then, let us remember the many victims who died needlessly of starvation in the breadbasket of Europe during a record harvest year. The peasants' own food taken from their mouths. Millions of innocent men, women, children, infants, the elderly, dying slow, agonizing deaths as the world celebrated Joseph Stalin's social experiment. It has been said that, compared to Stalin, Hitler was a demented Boy Scout. While the West has demonized Hitler, and rightly so, for decades it all but canonized Stalin. Soviet apologists, even today, cling tenaciously to the lies and delusions that characterize that evil regime. It is time now to learn the lessons of history. Politicians and protesters, teachers and journalists, business leaders and legislators, diplomats and ordinary workaday people, we all have to learn from history or we are doomed to repeat it, we and our children and their children for generations to come. Is this the legacy we want to leave them? If not, then tonight, light a candle in remembrance of the innocent millions who perished from forced famine 70 years ago in Ukraine, and in honor of the survivors as well, who have carried around memories of death for 70 years as the world around them dismissed and denied their suffering. In the coming week, think of the complicity that allowed it to be done so easily. Then either learn or teach the lesson to your fellow humans. Someone has to start. Why not let it be you?
Fields bare, land of plenty, as stripped your wheat fields bare, land of plenty, as if you were not there. Land of plenty, your people lived off you, but it started in 1932. Land of plenty, your people you could feed, but that year you were robbed for foreign greed. Land of plenty, your people you could feed, but that year you were robbed for foreign greed. Land of plenty, your people could not eat. Satan's soldiers collected all your wheat in the name of an ideology that was written to give equality. In the name of an ideology that was written to give equality. Land of plenty refused the right to give, and Ukraine was refused the right to live. Land of plenty, as if you were not there. Land of plenty, the harvests of despair. Land of plenty, as if you were not there. Land of plenty, the harvests of despair. Land of plenty, 2 years with empty hands, and the world still refused to understand that your nation just wanted to be free. Land of plenty of 1933, yes, your nation just wanted to be free. Land of plenty of 1933.
And an original composition by Stepan Pasichnik of London, England, otherwise known as Ludwig, and a song called 1933, or Land of Plenty.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Last week, we spoke with Marta Tomku, the producer of the film Holodomor, Ukraine's Genocide. Her partner on the film was Hollywood director Bobby Lee. We ended last week's discussion with a question regarding the emphasis of the term genocide in this film.
Yes, that was Bobby's idea, and Bobby created the whole look of the film. And I think Bobby would be the best person who could answer that question himself, and he's sitting right next to me. Please stand by.
Thank you so much for taking your time out on a Saturday morning to talk to us. We sincerely appreciate it.
Oh, no, not at all. It's great to have you on, because I know there's a lot of curiosity about this film, so it's really good to speak to you about it. And I think there's a lot of curiosity about you, Bobby.
I had no idea. Marta and I started dating, and her mom, she gave me this little tiny pamphlet, and it was about Ukraine, and it mentioned the genocide and the Holodomor. And I said to her, and I said to Marta, it's like, wait a second, did this really happen? I'm a history buff. I study history. I love history. And how come I don't know about this? We were never taught this in school. So that sort of started the fire a little bit, Then we went to this memorial thing, and then it was like, again, here it is again, the second time. And at that point, Marta was like, we got to make a movie about this. And I was like, no, I do narrative feature films. I don't do documentaries. I've never done a documentary, and I have no desire to do a documentary. I don't want to say she lied to me, but she sort of strung me along and said, guess what? It's easy. We can do it on the weekends. And she goes, just grab a camera and go. At that particular time, I was making a picture with Vince Vaughn and the country star Randy Travis. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, if I can do it on the weekends, that's fine. Okay, you know? And it wasn't that easy at all. You know, there was so much research because I didn't know anything about it. I never even heard of it. And there's very little information about it out there. So what I did is I kind of got as much as I could off the internet for like 3 or 4 months. And then Marta brings on Professor Taras Hunchuk. So then I go to him and I tell him all this information that I've researched. And he's like, no, that's all wrong. Everything that I had been researching was wrong. And that's sort of had the bond between him and I, because all of a sudden it's like now we're sitting down and he's explained to me exactly what happened, you know, all the historically accurate facts. And then it was like, well, you know, Taras, you're going to have to help me write this. So I would write the script, send it to him, and then he would correct it. So it was a fantastic collaboration between us, and we just became very, very close. And it was like dealing with this for, gosh, about a year or so, a couple of years.
Wow. So the information that you got on the internet was wrong. That's interesting.
Yeah, almost all of it was actually incorrect. It was not historically correct. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but it was from Wikipedia and many different websites. And some websites are actually, if you Google Holodomor, some sites are actually against the Holodomor.
Yeah.
You know, some sites are calling it a fake famine, mm-hmm. you know. And our movie is very historically correct. Hunchuk wouldn't let me slip. He was so strict. It's like, you know, and I would say, Taras, you know, I want it to be, we call it the three E's. Entertaining, enlightenment, and educational. And at the same time, it's still a movie. So I want it to be entertaining. I don't want somebody to be bored.
Yeah, of course.
And so, you know, he wouldn't let me slide on anything that wasn't historically correct.
You know, yeah, and that's rare often in Hollywood movies. No offense to your industry, but entertainment is the purpose of Hollywood.
Exactly. That's what Hollywood is. It's like, you know, we're trying to entertain. The other thing that was interesting, too, and I just want to share this with you, is when we started to make this movie in November 2006, but we were really kind of full going it in 2007. But what was interesting, in 2007, there were 40 different movies regarding the Holocaust that were released. And I'm like, well, how come there hasn't been one movie regarding Holodomor? And it was, wow, why is that? And so then we started, you know, researching, and he brings Taras Hunchuk on, and he's like, he goes, nobody would do it because all these obstacles. The Soviets, the Russian government to this day still denies that it ever happened. Another interesting thing, our film played in Monaco at the Monaco Charity Film Festival in 2009. And we actually won the Grand Jury Award.
Ah, congratulations.
Best feature or short. Yeah, it was amazing. I couldn't believe it. The interesting thing about it is the supposedly celebrity for the film fest, the representative, I guess, was Christina Putin.
Oh, and she is Putin's wife?
His daughter.
Wow.
Yeah, and he apparently he has a mansion or something, or some sort of place in Monaco, Monte Carlo. So, and she was there, and she was representative, and I invited her to come see our screening, and she didn't do it. She goes, I can't do that. You know that. And then we won the award, and at the big gala, the first person I wanted to say hi to was her. Yeah, so we're on stage. And Marta and I are on stage getting the award, which is the biggest award you could possibly get at that film festival. And so I said a couple of things, and I was basically thanking the festival director and the people that got us into that film festival. And then I gave the mic to Marta, and she started talking about the Holodomor. They cut her off. They literally
really?
Said no. Yeah, it was quite the experience.
Quite a coup, actually.
Good for you.
Good for you. Congratulations, not just on winning the award, but on making those kind of inroads and raising that awareness.
When we were filming in Ukraine, my assistant, who was from a town, I keep visiting, like, an hour or so from Kiev, he'd never heard of it. Didn't know anything about it.
I think that's almost common knowledge in the diaspora that they wouldn't. How old was this person?
This guy was 25.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, the young people don't know. So this is a good thing that you're doing. So you met Taras Hanchak where?
Well, basically what happened is we did a press release. I mean, what I did is I actually cut a I put together, before we did any interviews, I put together a four-minute trailer with stock footage and just narrations. I was going to Cannes, to the Cannes Film Festival, Festival de Cannes, and I wanted to take this trailer and play it for some industry people and just to get their reaction. Like, okay, is this worth doing? Mm-hmm. Because we're getting ready to soak a lot of money into this and a lot of time. And I did. But because we did the press release, it went out throughout the U.S. and Canada. And Taras Hanchak called Marta and just said, hey, you know, I'd like to offer my services. And that's how we met, you know, over the phone. So
And he is Professor Emeritus from?
Rutgers.
Rutgers. All right. Yeah. Not a shabby institution, right?
It's not. He's written books. He's an expert on the Holodomor, without a doubt. I think he specializes in Ukrainian Jewish and Russian history.
Right. Yes. I'm very familiar with the name. I'm sure many listeners are as well. Yeah. So he did make a very good addition to the film. I did see the film, and it was... I have a hard time describing it as entertaining. I'm sorry. I know you did. It's not to cast any aspersions on your filmmaking expertise or talent, but it was. I mean, it's a typical in a sense, it's a typical documentary, and it's very sad. But it gets the point across very well. I was able to watch it. I sort of have reached a point of Holodomor fatigue in a sense. It's not a lot about it that I don't know, not a lot of new facts other than, you know, new eyewitness accounts, which there were many in your film that I hadn't heard. But it was an enlightening film, even though I was aware of it.
That's good. That means it worked. You know, you're right. It's probably not entertaining to most people. What I was trying to do is to make a movie that doesn't look like a documentary. You know, we were in Ukraine, and I said to Marta, I got to have a helicopter. And she's like, no, you're not getting a helicopter. And I said, no, I need a helicopter. I got to make it entertaining. I got to make some big production look, at least. And she's like, no. And I said, I want a helicopter. And I threw a temper tantrum, and I got my helicopter.
I just also wanted to say that our mission in making this film was not just simply in making a film about Holodomor. It was about letting the world know about the tragedy that the Ukrainian people suffered at the hands of, you know, the brutal regime that starved all those people on purpose. So just because we finish our movie right now does not mean that our mission is finished, because it's not enough simply to make a movie about this. Now we need to get the movie out into the world for people to know, not only Ukrainians, but non-Ukrainians, and all the people to know of what happened. I can't even imagine dying from starvation, and we're so lucky and blessed to have food, and now we're just making this film makes me even more grateful for all the little things in life that we have, and we are so lucky. So we need help from every single person who's listening to this right now to help us let the world know and promote the film, you know, not only promoting the film, but promoting awareness of Holodomor. So everybody knows, because in the making of this film, I've only encountered 16 people in all of North America, that's U.S. and Canada, who are non-Ukrainian, who have heard of Holodomor. So more people need to know about this. This needs to be in history books in the United States and in other countries as well. Somebody told me, I think it was you perhaps, that it is already in Canadian history books. But people need to know this, and this needs to have its proper place in history. So our work is not completely done until people are more aware of Holodomor throughout the world.
And many thanks again to Marta and Bobby for speaking with us about their film, Holodomor, Ukraine's Genocide. To purchase a copy or for more information, visit their website, www.holodomorthemovie.com.
Вільні полі, птах над океаном, неба безодня захоплюють взір. Вільні повір, вітру трави похиляє, вільні полі. Птахи за ворожи. Океану безодня, неба височінь, ген там мобрій без краю далечінь. Як знайти, що зникає, не лишає слід, як зрозуміти світ? Вільні полі, зірок, що падають у ніч, не поспішиш, час бажання злетить. Вільні полі, вирієм почуттів із серця, віднесе там, де бажання здійснить. Океану безодня, неба височінь, ген там мобрій без краю далечінь. Як знайти, що зникає, не лишає слід, як зрозуміти світ? Як зрозуміти світ?
And from Lillooet, BC, that was Helena Stolyarchuk with an original composition, Vilni Polit, or Free Flight. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, Sundays at 5 p.m. on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver, Saturdays around the world on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio, and live in Nanaimo, Wednesdays at 12 noon on CHLY 101.7 FM. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, register on our site, take our survey, make a donation, sponsor a child, and check out our audio archives going back 10 years now. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Де згода немає, там усе зло буває. And our proverb of the week translates as, where there is no harmony, there are all kinds of evil. Well, that just about takes us to the end of our program. So to wrap things up, we have the female beat from Winnipeg, Manitoba, from their CD, Steppin' Out, and another selection that speaks to that Ukrainian spirit. This is the Nasha Heel and Toe Polka. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.